Take up our reading this morning, if I remain undisturbed. In that paragraph that begins, those also that belonged to the family sent them away with many a good wish. Now, the interpreter in the paragraph preceding covered, I think last week we covered it. Interpreter had called his man servant, one Mr. Greatheart, and had sent him to conduct them to their next port of call, so to speak, which would be the Beautiful, a house called Beautiful. And so Mr. Interpreter bid them Godspeed and sent them on their way. Those also that belonged to the family sent them away with many a good wish. And so they went on their way and sang. Here's the song they sang. This place hath been our second stage. Here we have heard and seen those good things that from age to age to others hid have been. The dunghill raker, spider, hen, the chickens too to me have taught a lesson. Let me then conformed to it be. The butcher, garden, and the field, the robin and his bait, also the rotten tree doth yield me argument of weight to move me for to watch and pray, to strive, to be sincere, to take my cross up day by day and serve the Lord with fear. So this, actually, I did leave it behind on last week. I didn't cover it, but this brings us technically to the end of a sort of the end of a section, if you please, because after this, they move on, moving on with Mr. Greatheart as their accompanying them as their accompaniment. And this poem, Bunyan gives us this poem, and this somewhat concludes that section. They've received the bath, they've received the robes, they've received the seal, and now they have received this great gift, this Mr. Greatheart, to accompany them. McGuire summarizes this section and has these comments to make. He says, the concluding events of this visit, the concluding events of this visit are full of deep spiritual significance, seeing that the opportunity is taken to invest Christiana and her family with those marks and credentials which Christian had received at the subsequent stage of the journey at the cross and the sepulchre. They are conducted to the bath, which Bunyan himself interprets in a side note to mean the bath of sanctification. And from thence they return washed and cleansed. They then receive the seal of the Spirit, and ere they leave the house, they are clothed upon with the change of raiment, fine linen, white and clean. Thus clad in the sanctifying righteousness of the Spirit, they are also clothed with humility, seeing the glory of the rest and esteeming others better than themselves. Thus he concludes his look at this section. Inglis also has a note about this bath. It's a little bit of a, it's just a footnote. It's a little bit of a long footnote, though. But I think it's worth hearing. He says, this bath, the seal, and the snow-white raiment are all bestowed on the same persons at the same time to show how spiritual blessing is received in receiving Christ. Now, you understand there are those who teach what's called the doctrine of second blessing. That means that they receive salvation At the point that they receive salvation, they only get salvation. I'm not at all sure how they explain how you can have salvation and not have the Holy Spirit. But they claim that you get salvation. Then at some later time in your sanctification, if you pray enough, if you do enough, if you beg enough, etc., then God will come visit you again, and this time impart to you the Holy Spirit, and that's called the second blessing. And Inglis is saying here that Bunyan is showing that that is all received together at one time and by every believer. He says, he quotes Butler, who said, "As one with him, we obtain the whole inheritance of grace and glory. The instant that we are incorporated in the mystical body of which he is the head, the instant in which we are made living stones of the temple of which he is the cornerstone, the instant that we become branches in that celestial vine, that instant we possess the seed of the seed of the entire and all the life of the Christian. Yea, all his eternity is but lost, less or greater development of the Christ he bears within, around, and upon him. To receive him is to receive the germ of every blessing that is written in the book of God. One with Christ, we must have pardon. For how could God love the head and hate the members? One with Christ, we must have sanctification. For how could he that is boundlessly pure remain one with all that is willfully unholy? One with Christ, we must have the perspective of redemption of the whole man to glory. For how could he abandon to the everlasting grave a portion of his own being, such as he has deigned to make us, and think his happiness complete?" So he's simply saying to be one with Christ is to have it all. Butler goes on and says, "All the New Testament theology is but different perspective views of the one unchangeable object, the gift of Jesus Christ. Seen in one direction, it is pardon. Seen in another, it is holiness. Seen in another, it is glory. He justifies as Christ crucified and risen without us. He sanctifies as Christ crucified and risen within us. He glorifies in virtue of both, as Christ enthroned in the fullness of consummate power and at length subduing all things unto himself." So just pressing this matter that we receive, in receiving Christ, we receive every possible potential and eventual blessing. Christ cannot be ours and any grace be absent. This King cannot enthrone himself in our spirit and not bring with him his whole retinue of blessings. Blessings may, they must, arise in succession to creatures that live in successive times. But the first is instant that Christ is ours, the seed of every blessing is ours. A life of sanctification is hidden in that moment. Nay, a long perspective of infinite glory is there. Imagine that. He says in the conversion, that moment of conversion, a long perspective of infinite glory is there. It's already there. Death is conquered. Satan is chained. Heaven is won. For he who accomplished all things is made unto us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is all things unto us that we may be in all things his. He is to us righteousness that we may rejoice in his pardon with the joy of the Holy Ghost. He is to us sanctification, that we may bear the fruit of His indwelling Spirit. He is to us redemption, that we may walk in white as being worthy, worthy to follow Him wherever He goes. When men, thoughtless and ungodly, would win you from His service, tell them that there's one in heaven with whom you are one, that you live as members of His spiritual frame, incorporated into Him, in and by Him, righteous, sanctified, redeemed, and that being thus not your own but His, you are resolved, whatever the dreaming world may say, in Him to live, that in Him you may die. In Him to die, that in Him you may live forever. So quite a, as I say, quite a lengthy note there from English, but he's just emphasizing again, pressing on, if you please, this matter that that it is not possible for you to have Christ in portions or particles, in fragments, but rather when you have Christ, you have everything. And this is pictured by Bunyan in these closing paragraphs of this section when he shows us that they receive the bath, they receive the seal, they receive the garments, and they receive Mr. Greatheart to travel with them in their journeys. Now I saw in my dream that these went on, and Greatheart before them. So they went, and came to the place where Christian's burden fell off his back, and tumbled into a sepulcher. Here then they made a pause. They made a pause. Can I dare to say it? At this place. This place, this significant place. Here then they made a pause. Here also they blessed God. Now, said Christiana, it comes to my mind what was said to us at the gate, to wit, that we should have pardon by word and deed. By word, that is, by the promise. By deed, to wit, in the way it was obtained. What the promise is, of that I know nothing. But what it is to have pardon by deed, or in the way that it was obtained, Mr. Greatheart, I suppose you know. Wherefore, if you please, let us hear your discourse thereof. Now, we'll not go into that today because of our next meeting after. But just get in your mind what it is specifically Christiana is asking for here. They made a pause there, and she remembered that they were told that they would have pardon by word and by deed. It is by word, that is, in the promise. By deed, in the way that it was obtained. And then she says, now, exactly what the promise is, of that I know something. Of that I know something. What the promise is, I know something about that. But what it is to have pardon by deed, or in the way that it was obtained, she clearly doesn't know very well how to understand that. So she appeals to Mr. Greatheart, which I suppose would support the argument of those who say that Bunyan means by Mr. Greatheart the minister of the gospel. She appeals to Mr. Greatheart, supposing, of course, that he knows. And so she asks him to please let them hear some discourse on this matter of how to understand that pardon is accomplished by deed, by doing, by something that's done. This is a tremendous question. And Mr. Greatheart will indeed expound it thoroughly. And when he does, we will take it up also. And there will be opportunity for us to entertain this doctrine thoroughly, because so very many believers, some believers for many, many years, and they've never put their minds to this matter. They've never thought about this question and entertained this discussion, how it is that pardon is accomplished by deed. We shall see that that's an interesting question and has a profound and glorious answer. And we will entertain that. We'll save that to go into next time, because that will be cover probably more than one session and will be a lengthy discussion of this matter of doctrine. But that brings us to the end then of that one section, and they are now set out on their journey again, and the first thing they come across is the place where Christian's burden fell off of his back, and it was in that place and in the context of those memories that Christiana puts this question to Greatheart to better understand it. That's a very brief lesson, I know, but is there any questions or discussion of that? I didn't want to detain you long. Any question? No? Well, the questions will come when we go into that next discussion by Mr. Greatheart.